Chapter 12. Wales. During the nights of the 13th and 14th of March, the Nautilus was again sailing south. I guessed that after reaching the southern tip of South America, the captain would sail to the west into the Pacific Ocean, therefore completing a world tour. He did not return to the Pacific, however, but rather continued going south. Where was he going? To the South Pole? I now worried that the captain's great courage would lead us into a terrible situation, as Ned Land had feared. For some time, the Canadian had not spoken of his escape plans. Now he was almost silent. His time on the submarine was not an exciting adventure, as he longed to be on land again. When he met the captain, I could see anger in his eyes and feared that he might become violent soon. On the 14th of March, he and Conseil came to speak to me.
"How many men do you believe to be on board the Nautilus?"
Ned Land asked me. "I do not know, my friend," I responded. "Certainly at least 10 men.
"Well, could you estimate the number of men on board the submarine by calculating the size of the Nautilus?"
Conseil suggested. "Well, you need to figure out the total amount of air used by one person, then find out how much air can be held on board," I explained. "I estimate, then, there could be 625 men on board to breathe in the submarine's air supply in 24 hours.
625,
exclaimed Ned Land.
"That is far too many for 3 men,
whispered Conseil. I then realized that Ned had wished to take over the ship, therefore allowing him to return to land. We, however, did not know how many men were on board.
"Professor,"
continued Conseil,
"I must tell you that poor Ned misses everything he cannot have. We must understand him. He has no desire to learn about the mysteries under the surface of the water. He desires to return to his life where he had freedom."
I understood that the Canadian could not bear living in such a manner much longer, but we still had no way of escaping, as we were rather far from land. The next morning, as we were standing on the platform watching the ocean, we saw a group of whales swimming nearby. This sighting only upset poor Ned, as he remembered his days as a whale catcher, the days when he was free.
"Ah,"
exclaimed the Canadian,
"if I was on board a whaling ship, I would be meeting those whales with pleasure. But now, I have no freedom from this submarine. They are coming closer."
Immediately, Ned stepped back into the submarine to look for the captain to tell him of his desire to go whale catching.
"Will you allow me an opportunity to catch one of the whales, sir?"
he asked the captain.
"For what reason?"
asked the captain.
"Only to destroy them. We have no need for them on board right now."
"But, sir," continued the Canadian,
"you allowed us to follow a whale in the Red Sea. That was to supply the ship with food. Here, it would be simply killing. I do not agree with such things. Fishermen are taking all the whales from the sea because they are selfish. Soon, there will be none left."
The captain was right. The terrible selfishness of the fishermen will one day take all the lives of the whales. Ned Land said nothing more, but felt a great deal of anger towards the captain. Chapter 13. The Iceberg. The Nautilus continued sailing to the south with great speed. Did he wish to reach the South Pole? I did not think so, as every other expedition before the Nautilus had failed. In addition, the season was now becoming colder, as the 13th of March in the north corresponds to the 13th of September in the south, including the South Pole. For a number of days, the Nautilus remained on the surface of the water, and we soon saw large blocks of ice floating by. The closer we sailed to the south, the more floating islands of ice we saw, but the Nautilus sailed between the great masses of ice quite easily. On the 15th of March, the captain told me that on a nearby piece of land, there were once a great number of seals living there, but selfish English and American whale catchers had killed all, both young and old. Therefore, no life existed in that region any longer. Now there was nothing but silence and death. As we sailed closer to the South Pole, I noticed more islands of ice in the water, making our path quite difficult. I often saw no exit for the submarine, but Captain Nemo would then find a new path through the icy water. On the 16th of March, however, the ice islands blocked our path. This did not frighten the captain, however, as he continued to throw the Nautilus at the islands of ice, hoping to escape. On the 18th of March, however, after many attempts at escaping the ice, the captain realized the submarine was trapped.
"Well, sir, perhaps we are having difficulty with movement, but I know the Nautilus will be able to move further to the south."
"Further to the south?" I asked, looking at the captain.
"Yes, sir. It shall go to the South Pole."
I then asked the captain if he had ever traveled to the South Pole with the Nautilus before.
"No, sir,"
he replied.
"But we will discover it together. Where others have failed, I will not. The Nautilus will go further south. Yes, we will go under the water to reach the South Pole."
I then understood his plans. If the surface of the sea was frozen, the lower depths still flow with running water, allowing us to continue our journey. During our journey, I saw icebergs nearly 300 feet above the water, meaning that their depth below the water could be nearly 900 feet, but the Nautilus could easily travel under such depths.
"The only difficulty,"
explained the captain,
"is remaining underwater for several days without being able to return to the surface for air."
I now trusted the captain, and strongly believed we could reach the South Pole. I was eager to begin our journey, as was the captain. Soon enough, we were 900 feet below the surface, floating under the iceberg. The Nautilus went below that, however, sinking to nearly 400 fathoms.
"We shall pass it,"
said Conseil. "I believe we shall," I said eagerly. The Nautilus was then moving at 26 miles an hour. If our speed continued, we would be at the South Pole in 40 hours. The next morning, the 19th of March, we were near the South Pole and sailing towards the surface as well. We were going to the surface at the South Pole. No! We then crashed into the bottom of the iceberg, still quite thick. There was now over 3,000 feet of ice above us, 1,000 above the surface of the water. Several times that day, the Nautilus attempted to break the surface but failed. That night, the situation had not changed. I could not sleep that night, worrying about our frightening situation under the depths of the icy water. At 3 in the morning, I awoke to see that the lower surface of the iceberg was only 50 feet deep. We were only separated from the surface by 150 feet of ice. That day, at 6 in the morning, the 19th of March, the captain came into the sitting room with an eager look on his face.
The sea is open,
he exclaimed.